Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
Happy Friday, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I am your co-host, James Carmody. Back in the saddles, Mr. Jared Kelly. Jared, welcome back.
Man, it's good to be back in here. It's good to be alive again and in the world.
Absolutely. Folks, you should see Jared Kelly has the best smile on the planet. And you can tell he is happy to be alive and back with us.
I spent a week in the hospital. You don't get to just spend a week in the hospital.
You had to tour it, make sure our facilities were safe.
You know, I stayed in the most expensive hotel with the worst food. I was like, for what I'm paying for this, I should be able to like pick something better than...
They should be serving you lobster.
Yeah. The average age on my floor was 77, so they put me on the death floor, and luckily I made it out of there.
We're all glad that you are back.
Yeah. I'm excited to be back in the world. Had a pretty bad staph infection, and our guest was giving me some great advice, and I'll let you introduce him, but he said, you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of yourself, because that's the main tool we have. You do a checkup on your car once a year, maybe even do some checkup on your finances, but we're all scared to go to the doctor. So not that I could have prevented this, but I encourage you to take care of yourself.
Well, I think God had said, Jared, it's been a little while since you had a physical tune-up, so we're going to send you in for a week.
I did my physical this year. That's the bad thing. Like, I actually did my job, did my doctor visits, and still in the battle of surviving and doing life. I think that's part of life, too. You never know when you're going to get thrown a curveball, and it's how you handle that.
Absolutely. And folks, you know, Jared handled it with grace and is a leader, and we're just, you know, so thankful to have him back with us. Folks, we have an amazing show for you today, like an incredible show, and we have two amazing leaders, and that's what the show is about. It's about servant leadership and sharing the stories and the good news of people making a difference in San Diego, in America's finest city. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first guest. We have Major General Anthony L. Jackson, likes to go by Tony. He is U.S. Marine Corps retired, and before retirement from the Marine Corps, after more than 36 years of service, Tony served as Commanding General, Marine Corps Installations West. With the rank of Major General, was among the highest-ranking African Americans in this branch of the Armed Forces. After retirement, Tony was appointed as the director of California State Parks in November of 2012. He oversaw a system of nearly 1.4 million acres with over 280 miles of coastline, 612 miles of lake and river frontage, nearly 15,000 campsites, and 3,000 miles of hiking, biking, and equestrian trails. Tony attended San Jose State on a full football scholarship and was team captain in 1970. In 2011, University and the trustees of California State University awarded Tony with an honorary doctorate of human letters. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Sir, thank you for your service, and we are excited to unpack your story and dig in. We got a lot going on here.
I'm
going to
unpack servant leadership just a little bit.
Yes,
this
sir.
Man left fishing in the Sierras when it was starting to get good to come be on the radio today and share his story with you and help just inspire the people that he, and tell his story with people that he's touched, people that he's been involved with, and just sitting in his presence, it honestly just gives me the chills. You can tell this man has impacted many, many, many people. And I'm thankful that he gave up. And the trout are also thankful that he gave up and he came back and did this interview, because they were going to end up in the frying pan, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, thank you for the selfless leader that you are in giving up your time to come back and be with us today. We so appreciate that. And we're going to dig into your story. Okay. And we're going to start with just, you know, your background, Tony. Where are you from and what was your path to get to where you are?
Well, let me tell you, it's kind of no person I think of accomplishment is solely responsible for wherever they, whatever path they walk in life. I was very fortunate. I had two outstanding parents. My dad was in the Army, so I'm an Army brat. And my mom was just a country girl from Salt Lake City, Utah. And they met, I think, in May of 1942 and got married 3 weeks later. He was a young soldier and went off to war, and she was pregnant and had the first child. And while he was gone, and he came back when my oldest sister was, I think, about 3 years old, see her for the first time in World War II. And then he was home in 46, and my oldest brother. And if you look at all of those years, peace years, and another brother was born a year later, and then I was born. The Korean War broke out, and he went off to war in the Korean War and came home in 52. And in 53, my third brother was born. There was peace for a while, so another brother and another sister were born. And we were all born in different places. Three of us were born in Salt Lake City. Two of us, myself included, was born in Washington State. Another brother born in Los Angeles, and a sister born in Texas, all my dad's duty stations. So, but I was the beneficiary of coming out to California in the ninth grade when California had some of the best schools in the country. Mm-hmm. The teachers in Texas at the time were excited about me coming to the number one educational state in the union. And the counselors at my high school pushed me to be prepared to go to college. And Phyllis Collier was my high school counselor, who I'll never forget, because myself, I was only interested in football, and I got good grades just to make sure I could play football. And lo and behold, I was offered football scholarships, and come to find out they were all privately funded, but they paid for my 4 years of education, and I went on to get my master's degree in history at San Jose State. But the key there is I had a real solid family, very competitive brothers, older brother who could whip me at anything, two older brothers, as a matter of fact.
And how many siblings do you have, Tony?
I have four brothers and two sisters. Wow. The great sisters are the bookends of the five brothers in terms of age. And for the most part, they're settled in California now, too. I have one brother who lives up in Seattle. But good family, the great educational institutions here in the state of California. And then, so I've had plenty of opportunity. I was born in the age of opportunity, especially at that time for African Americans. I know it was a time to look for those people that the universities thought could achieve. And but I took a football scholarship because I love football. And I didn't have very pleasant experiences coming down here and playing San Diego State. So I played in Qualcomm twice, and I think we lost both times at San Diego State. But it's been a good journey. I've had a lot of support, from whether it's parents or a high school counselor, teammates along the way. And then I married right. So I married a gal from Lafayette, California, and Susan, and met her at college, appropriately in an anatomy and physiology class.
Smart man.
Yeah.
And so we've been married now. We got married my senior year. She was in grad school. So we've been married for 46 years. And she's put up with all of that Marine Corps stuff and my going up to Sacramento to be director of California State Parks. But her support has been kind of phenomenal, because she could have fired me at many times along the way. So that's some of the background. I think that I've had a lot of support. And even in the Marine Corps, you have extraordinarily talented young Americans, for the most part, who are dedicated. And if you take care of them, they sort of take care of you. And so they kind of took care of me for 36 and a half years. Yeah.
How did you get into the Marine Corps, Tony?
Yeah. Did you talk to my wife? You know, no. It's kind of one of these stories. I grew up
always wanting to be in the military. I mean, but I went off to college in 67. My older brother was in Vietnam as an Army E-4, like a corporal or something. And when I graduated from high school, you know, my dad went in service, you know, right after Pearl Harbor and spent the next 24 years there. And I had an older brother, my second oldest brother, Don. He served in the Air Force during the Vietnam era. He had gone to San Jose State on a football scholarship like I did, ahead of me, a year ahead of me. And so I thought it was my family's natural movement. But I wanted to be an officer. And but I got married in the height of the Vietnam War. And that wasn't the thing to do. And it was an interracial marriage. And it was a lot of conflict. But we decided to fight the world together. And so I put off that and I went into business. And but it kind of ground up me for the next two and a half years that I really did want to serve. And I thought that if you served, no one could ever deny your right to every facet of being an American citizen. And so one day, rather than going off to my insurance business, I just went to a recruiter.
Smart man, smart man. And we're gonna continue right where we're leaving off right now. Folks, stick around, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, The Answer. KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question why. I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's Little League coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170. The Answer. KCBQ.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. In studio, James Carmody, co-host Jared Kelly, and we have the honor and privilege to have retired Major General Tony Jackson, Marine Corps. And gosh, Tony's got quite a resume. But we went on break and we were talking about how Tony got into the Marine Corps. And, you know, as a young man and an Army brat, as he self-described himself, and having siblings in the service, he just had this burning desire that he had an obligation and a responsibility to serve his country as an American, and felt that, as you know, that would give him access to all facets that this country had to offer. And let's hear a little bit more about that story, because you had just married Susan. There's a couple things going on in your life.
And we just walked into the recruiter's office, right?
So yeah, right.
Let's pick
right.
up where we left off.
Yeah, I was, I think 3.5 years out of college. I went into the insurance business to try to make the money that would replace the life that I thought that my wife deserved. And but I had this real desire to serve our country in uniform. And I was, when the Marines made headlines in May of 1975 with the recapture of the Mayaguez off the coast of Cambodia, I said it was time for me to stand up. And so the next day I got dressed up to go to work, and I went to the recruiter's office instead. And the recruiter was kind enough to ask me if I had a college degree, and I said yes. He said, well, you need to go to the officer selection officer. So in that one day, I went, I took the physical, I took the aptitude test, passed them all, and signed up as Private Anthony L. Jackson, U.S. Marine Corps, to go to OCS in a month or two. And then the recruiter says, well, do you want me to come home with you and explain our program to your wife? I said, I don't think you want to be in my house tonight.
I don't think you want to be a part of that.
Because she wasn't a part of that decision at that time, although many times I had ached to her that I should serve. And but she hung in there, and she's hung in there for now for, you know, 46 and a half years. So the decision was made that I would go in for 3 years. That was in May of 1975. And I actually did get out. Well, sort of got out. I went into the reserves where I do my weekend a month. That was in 1978, after my three-year active duty obligation was up. But I still ached to serve. And I looked at it from a lot of different ways. I looked at it that I had something to offer the Marine Corps. And, you know, being African-American is important in this. It was important in my decision because there was a certain look on the face as my first duty station was with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines at Camp Pendleton, California. So we did get to come back home that first duty. And there was definitely a different look on the face of young Marines as they saw a young second lieutenant in charge of a platoon of 45 Marines. And that look kind of permeated my whole countenance, I would say. And I knew that when I had gotten out, I went into reserve establishment, got a really nice job with Kaiser Aluminum and Chemical, and was one of their few people in their management class at that time. But I knew that it was more important for me to be in the Marine Corps. And when I initially joined, I just wanted to know that I could live up to the high standards of the Marine Corps, that I could lead young men and women, and that if the nation had a crisis, that I wanted to be kind of on the hot seat, I guess, and to do what Marines had done since the founding of the country. And so when I told my wife that I wanted to go back in the Marine Corps from this Kaiser executive preparation, I think she just resigned to the fact that this is what I was going to be. And so I came back in, and son of a gun, if they didn't send me right back to 5th Marine Regiment at Camp Pendleton. And then the rest became history. I think because of my father, I was able to take the advice of my junior Marines, which is important to be able to do that with the NCOs and staff non-commissioned officers who had a lot more experience in the Marine Corps than maybe a lieutenant did. And so I always got great guidance from them, and I got great guidance from seniors. So you get that mentorship, and then you suddenly become a mentor as the years go by. And you get put in a couple of hot seats, and you have to make tough decisions, and I found that I could make them pretty the tough decisions without losing sleep. And the more you go up in rank, sometimes the tougher the decision gets and the more demanding they get. But I think my experiences both in education and especially on the athletic fields prepped me for those decisions, and good parenting prepped me for them, because a question I would often ask myself is, could you explain this one to your mother?
Always got to answer the mom.
That's right. Yeah. And so as time went by, it was just natural. And ending up being a general officer was a surprise. I mean, I'd had a lot of responsibility through my careers. But the you know, we sometimes talk about education. And like I said, I came to California when we were, I think, number one in the nation between our high schools, our community colleges, our state colleges, our universities. And I'm sorry to say we've slid back quite a ways through the years. But education, if what you don't see maybe on my resume is that the military also focuses as it builds its leaders on not just training. Training is how do you pick up a tool, how do you use that tool, but on expanding your ability to be a critical thinker. And so besides my civilian education of a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and honorary doctorate, the Marine Corps, as a young lieutenant, you go to the basic school for 6 months. If you're successful as a captain, you go to another annual, a full academic year school, the Expeditionary Warfare School. I've been to the Army War College for a full year, completed command and staff, a full year extension, 2 year extension program. And so all along the way, you're being educated as well as gathering experience and greater responsibility. And even as a general officer, the first thing they do is you got to complete this 6 week school within your first 2 years. And so there's all this constant preparation so that you become a better critical thinker in crisis management, I suppose you'd say.
Or just even everyday life. So I think it's important to look at, as a parent, are you allowing your children to be critical thinkers? Are you putting rules and things in place that allow them to grow as people, as a leader in the organization, or as a manager? Are you allowing people to use critical thinking? And I think that's what you're saying education really is. Education is a place for critical thinking, not getting the right answers all the time. And I think it's very interesting that as you speak, like knife and fork school, it's important to know how to do that, but to understand why, when you're sitting down with someone, why that's important, because it shows respect. It shows that you know how to put yourself in a position to sit down and with a human being and show respect. Right. And I think that you've kind of turned education on its head. It says you don't need to just pass a test.
Right.
You need to know how to critically think about what you're doing.
Exactly. I think that, the wife and I, we were discussing things like the SAT test. There was a newspaper articles just recently about how the scores on SAT tests have gone down while grades in school have gone up. And so we were talking about, and the SATs that I took, there's already been a, if you scored 800 when I took the test and when many older folks took the test, it's the equivalent of today's 1,000. So even that SAT has been adjusted, because we saw that in the military, because you had to have a minimum 1,000 SAT to be an officer. That goes all the way back to your 16 or 17-year-old test you took, right? And now you want to be a commissioned officer. Well, they look at that SAT test, and it was a minimum of 1,000, okay? But over time, we had to change that to kind of 1,200, because when they dumbed down the test in the mid-90s, and so what is happening, I think, in our education system is we've gone to all of these advanced classes, and I'm not exactly the right term, but they take these kind of accelerated classes for the college prep students, and they end up with 4.3 grade point averages. And you go 4.3 on a 4.0 scale because they did extra papers or something, but they're not necessarily ready for critical thinking. And the other thing that we've done is we've really emphasized the STEM courses. STEM forgets socialization.
Mm-hmm.
Science, technology, engineering, and math. When we leave out, you notice I'm a history major. When we leave out the social sciences, we leave out people skills and learning about other people. So we've got and in leadership, it's people skills that count.
That's absolutely it.
Just for a leader doesn't have to look like Mr. Tony Jackson here, that is a major general. A leader can be you're waving to your neighbors. You're initiating conversations. A leader doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing. So, Tony, leave us with a final thought. Leave us with something that you would say is just the important thing for us to remember, and maybe the many years that you've gathered in wisdom for what you've done in the Marines and in life.
Well, you know, I kind of think that every day I wake up, there's a blessing to have been born or naturalized a United States citizen. We're kind of blessed with a country that fought its way into existence, and the founding fathers gave us two great documents, the Declaration of Independence, with its absolute declaration that all men are created equal, with the right to happiness and liberty. And then they put it down in paper, which are our fundamental laws in the Constitution, and they made 10 quick changes in the first 6 years and given the Bill of Rights. And if every American studied those closely, they would find them to be the greatest documents that have ever been written in the history of mankind. We have never lived fully to all of the ideals, but we never stop struggling to get there. And I think it's important for everybody to kind of understand that and to remember we're always striving for that more perfect union.
Amen. I think that's a great word, and we do need to remember that we all created equal. We are all human beings. We all have something to provide value, whether that's through education, whether that's through the military, whether that's through just building up and being a mentor. And I think you described mentor in a very, very, very appropriate manner. That means you're in the middle. You're learning from the bottom and you're getting wisdom from the top. So, Tony, thank you for coming on the show. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com. What an amazing story. And we have another one coming right at you. Stay tuned.
AM 1170, The Answer. KCBQ.
Jared Kelly here, co-host of Rise Up Radio and the Rise Up Movement. We are having an amazing journey and just trying to hold on to this movement, but we need you to be a part of this. If you would like to sponsor what's happening on air and in the community with the Rise Up Movement, visit us at sdriseup.com. Let's rise up together and understand it is our job to maintain America's finest city. Visit us at sdriseup.com. That's sdriseup.com. Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under. But for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I am your co-host, James Carmody, and back in the South, other co-host, Jared Kelly. And we have just had an amazing show for you, folks. We have another fantastic guest. We have Captain Howard Warner III, who is the commanding officer for Naval Base Point Loma. Sir, welcome to the show. El Capitan. Sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
It's an honor and a privilege for you to actually fit us into your very busy schedule, and the demands of your time, I'm sure, are extremely high.
Well, not recently, but they have been over the past 3 years. As I wind down my tour at Point Loma, I'm able to carve out a little bit of extra time. So it was a great opportunity when Jennifer threw it my way, and I would say likewise. Thank you for letting me participate in your marvelous show.
And I think that's the benefit of servant leaders is they don't shut off. They don't turn the light switch off.
No, they look for the next project to work on.
Hey, how can I give back? How can I do? I'm winding down. I can double dip in this. I can do some radio. I can go be involved in the community. Maybe I'll just be a speaker at the Mount Soledad Memorial Day event and just take on that too. So,
oh, and he crushed it. My wife and I were there at that. He just nailed it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that positive feedback. It was that was another short notice request that we were able to pull off, I think, with a lot of success. And put a lot of heart and thought into those remarks. I think the highlight of the day for me wasn't just being part of that Memorial Day event at Mount Soledad and the personal relationship that I have with many members of the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. I think it was bringing forth that poem in memoriam, at the end of the remarks.
Yes.
I mean, written on the beaches of Iwo Jima in 1945, and being able to bring that and do a public reading of it over 70 years later, for me, was just really the highlight of the day for me. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity.
Let's dig into that memorial a little bit and maybe your connection to it. But if you haven't been to the Mount Soledad Memorial, I think it's one of the most amazing ones. Because whether you've been to D.C. or you've seen kind of the big ones, walking around Mount Soledad and seeing literal pictures of people engraved into the stone, to see the comments and the personalization that has gone into it is just amazing to me. So I don't know your connection to it. Let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. So first off, my connection, quite frankly, was tied to the fact that as CO of Naval Base Point Loma up until the summer of 2015, I actually owned the property, not me personally, but Naval Base Point Loma was the federal shepherd for that piece of property. And after, I think, many years of negotiation and I think stating a very concise case, Congress passed the law that allowed us to then sell it to the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. And so that was where my connection started during this tour. Now, of course, having grown up here in San Diego, I remember Mount Soledad as a kid, and it was that really super cool hill over in La Jolla with the big cross on it. We'd go up there and look at all the sights and sounds. But nevertheless, when I went up there and saw those plaques, it, much like you, it struck me the same way. I found it just incredible. And what made it even more interesting is that it's not just a memorial for deceased veterans. There are living veterans that have their faces engraved up there that are still with us today. And we are actually proceeding forward to get my father-in-law, Carl Romano, who is a World War II Iwo Jima vet, Korean War vet, and Vietnam War vet. He just turned 92, and we are looking to get his face up there next to his wife, who sadly passed away a few years ago, but she was a Navy nurse, and that's how they met. So we're going to get them memorialized up there at Mount Soledad. So again, just touching, historical, and I think puts things in perspective. And of course, it just overwhelms you with the beauty and the view out there, doesn't it?
I mean, absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. So, I mean, thank you for that. And thank you for delivering a great keynote speech.
thank you.
It was very moving. So we have a few things to cover.
Okay.
One of the things, I want to start with is touching on SDMAC a little bit. SDMAC plays such an important role here in San Diego. What's the latest news? What do we need to be aware of? What's going on?
Yeah, so, SDMAC, San Diego Military Advisory Council, formed a number of years ago, I think, in an effort to align San Diego's elected officials, industry, the military, and the community by recognizing that the military, the Navy and Marine Corps team here, and the smaller footprints of our Army and Air Force contingent, we play a vital role in the economy and the development and the personality of San Diego itself. And given that San Diego is much more of a sprawling city, we populate the entire county, all counties, all cities, all 14 cities here in San Diego. I mean, we're all over the place. And so SDMAC and their charter to facilitate discussion, play a vital role in helping find solutions, common solutions, win-win situations. They have done that, and they have done it well. Every year, whether they have whoever the executive director is or whoever the president is, they get that message, and I think they deliver day in and day out. Now, on Naval Base Point Loma, we host the monthly breakfast at the Admiral Kidd Conference and Catering Center. And so at first, in my command tour, I was like, yeah, you know, just an event on my base. I'll go down there and see what's going on and welcome people to the base. Little did I realize the power that SDMAC has, I think, in shaping positive outcomes. So, you know, as I've listened to a lot of senior and flag officers come and speak at SDMAC and some keynote civilians, secretaries of the Navy, some industry leaders, you learn a lot, and you learn a lot about what the military means to San Diego and what San Diego means to the military. And so for me, SDMAC is really an opportunity to find that synergy. All of our kids go to school together, so we might as well solve the same problems together, and I think SDMAC helps facilitate that. So as far as you know, topics that are going on, I mean, probably no big secret, we're continuing to grow our footprint here in San Diego, particularly with our surface forces. We're bringing a number of littoral combat ships to the region. I'm a submariner, so our submarine footprint will remain just about the same, about six submarines down at Naval Base Point Loma. You know, but I think as we progress forward into the new, hopefully we can get some defense appropriations bill signed by Congress so we can actually have a, you know, a workable budget for the entire year. I think all those things will play into SDMAC's hands here in the coming years, like I said, to help shape some positive outcomes for San Diego.
You know, I think that SDMAC does an amazing job of just listening. And I think that's a key component. And Tony talked a little bit on the previous thing, is a mentor's job is to sit in the middle of wisdom, to take wisdom in, but also to understand what's going on in the next generation or the next people. And I think that SDMAC has done a great job of not only helping push agendas that are appropriate, but also listening to what the community actually wants and needs.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yep. Well, I was going to say, not just the community and aligning the community with the Navy, but also, you know, having the military, the Navy Marine Corps team here, you know, describe some of the challenges that we're going through. And what we have found is that SDMAC, as they listen, as you say, they also become a champion for some of those causes, whether it's financial champions or social champions, whatever the case may be. They've just done a marvelous job of listening and responding to our sailors and Marines here in San Diego.
We're going to take a couple minutes to dig into your story. So I want to know how does the El Capitan
El Cap
this decide to get in the Navy?
Well, that's interesting. You got to be careful about that, because I did go to Santana High School.
Oh man,
and El Capitan was our sister school out there, and those football games are always pretty tight. But or maybe they beat us soundly. I don't really remember. But
hey, we can make up whatever story we want.
Yeah, there you go. So having grown up in East County and moved here in the late 1970s from Hawaii, you know, I was a Navy brat. My father is a retired submarine master chief. So I wasn't unfamiliar with the Navy, but didn't really know what I wanted to do. So as I got through high school, I got asked a question. How are you going to pay for college? I said, well, I don't know. I'm an only child. Aren't you going to pay for my own college? And the answer was a resounding no. So my dad introduced me to ROTC and the academies. And at that point, I wanted to be a fighter pilot, then go on to be an astronaut. You know, I had all these aspirations. I did, in fact, study aeronautical engineering at the Naval Academy. But in the end, you know, that's how that whole process unfolded. And if it wasn't for a blue and gold officer that paid a visit to my house my senior year in high school, I'm not sure I ever would have gone to the academy. But this gentleman who still lives in East County, his name's Jim Daniel, he was the guy that got me roped into the academy. And when my eyesight went south and I couldn't be a pilot, I decided to go be an aquanaut and kind of fly underwater. So
you don't need as much vision. You can just ping some things and it comes back and tells you what's going on, right?
As long as you can hear things, you're good to go.
So great part of the story. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into and some reflection of what it looks like as an active duty officer, your career, and the accomplishments that not only you, but your team around you have been able to accomplish during your time as captain on the base. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question why. I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Rise Up Radio in studio. James Carmody, Jared Kelly, and we have the honor and privilege of having Captain Howard Warner with us. And Captain Warner is the commanding officer for Naval Base Point Loma. Such an honor to have you with us, sir.
Thank you.
Let's dig into the base. You know, well, let's talk about some of the accomplishments and what you've been able to achieve.
Okay,
during your time.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, I always turned over a pretty solid base to begin with. I mean, it's, you know, the submarine base was functioning. We were providing support to our submarines and our tenant commands. But, you know, as I mentioned, when I grew up here, my dad used to work at Naval Base Point Loma. And I remember it was much, much more vibrant. There was a lot more activity, a lot more effort, I think, focused towards that work-life balance that I think people in the military need to have, because we operate at 8,000 RPM on the waterfront, on the ships, on the ground, deployed overseas. And we always want to know that there is that safe haven, that lighthouse that we can come home to and just kind of, you know, put our feet on the ground and relax. And what I noticed was that we had steadily eroded a lot of those, what I call the benefits of our all-volunteer force. And what's interesting about Point Loma is that while we do have many active duty, we also have a large contingent of Department of Defense civilians that support our Navy and Marine Corps team that also work aboard Point Loma. And there just weren't many options. And so for the last 3 years, we laid out three main goals. And the first year, it was to make Naval Base Point Loma your Navy destination. And so we did everything we could to, for lack of a better term, restore fun to the base. You know, so we opened up our beach. We brought in paddleboard and kayak rentals. We built a million-dollar, you know, deck out on Ballast Point that overlooks the Pacific Ocean, where we host weddings and Sunday brunches. And that just became the cornerstone of growing what I would call the benefits of service. And because it's not just to spend money, we had to go out and develop some business lines to make money. And so as we assembled our team to move forward in making Naval Base Point Loma your Navy destination, I just can't say enough about Cheryl Camp, who is my installation program director for all community services, and her team of professionals. I mean, they just hit a home run. And so now Naval Base Point Loma has established a reputation for excellence and delivering high-quality family events, high-quality food and beverage, high-quality lodging, high-quality gymnasiums. And so that element played a key role. And a lot of people have asked me, well, why would you focus in on that? And I mentioned this at SDMAC last week. And the reason I focused on that is because as a leader, as somebody who has been provided the privilege of leadership, right? I wasn't born into this. I didn't buy my commission. I just happened to fall into it. The significance of leadership, and particularly for our sailors, has not been lost. And so if we're going to say, if we as leaders say our sailors and our Marines, they are our number one resource, well then, you know what? We ought to provide the resources to demonstrate that we are protecting the number one resource in our military. And it is those little things that, while by themselves, brand new locker rooms in a gym might not seem like a big deal. But when you integrate all those little things across the entire installation, suddenly you have an enterprise that makes people feel like, I'm returning home to that lighthouse, putting my feet on the ground, and someone cares. And that is where I think Naval Base Point Loma has made a huge turnaround in the past 3 years. And then, of course, we couldn't let our base look like a junkyard. So the second year, we laid out a commander's intent of cleanliness and stowage. And without the help of our tenant commands, all 70 or more of them, we would not have been able to achieve this alone. And we have fundamentally cleaned the base up and gotten rid of a lot of e-waste, a lot of recycled material, a lot of junk, a lot of things that were, had been stored on base for 30 years. I mean, we were finding time capsules from the 1970s.
Care to share any of those time capsules?
Well, some of those things were, you know, properly disposed of. But no, it's it was fascinating. And of course, as I mentioned last week as well, Point Loma has a lot of World War I, World War II coastal batteries that have tunnels underneath the grounds and down inside the batteries. They had been used as storage areas. So we got all that cleaned out, and the base looks great. It feels great. The team has developed a sense of decisiveness and independence and a sense of ownership that I don't think we've seen in a while. And of course, it brings great joy to my heart because it means I don't have to do as much work anymore. I can just sit back and kind of watch how things unfold. And so very proud of the team. This morning, I just gave a certificate accommodation to our unaccompanied housing program. And those are the barracks where our single sailors live. They, with this mentality, with this ability to remove barriers to success on our base, John Serta, my unaccompanied housing manager, and his team of professionals, they garnered 3 platinum awards for 3 of their buildings for customer service, cleanliness, lodging, satisfaction, and 3 A-list customer service awards for 3 other buildings, essentially taking 1/3 of all available awards for Navy Region Southwest on one base.
Wow.
And when I found out about this, of course, I said, I'm very proud of you. This is absolutely amazing. But it's just another reflection of how when an organization is empowered and takes pride and has that sense of ownership, there really is very little that they cannot accomplish. And so I just can't say enough about Naval Base Point Loma and what that team has done.
You know what, Captain? It also ties a civilian world when the sailors have pride to the Navy as well. And I'll share an example. It isn't, unfortunately, on Point Loma, and this is several years ago before it was probably cleaned up and it was your responsibility. I've been to baby showers, going away parties, a ton of events on the Coronado were the same kind of thing that you can describe on base, right behind the golf course.
Oh yeah.
Great place to hang out. As a civilian, all of my Navy buddies are like, hey, this is the place to come hang out and do things. And there's a lot of pride in that. And it's also like, hey, we have to have a card to get on here. And it's kind of special. Like
it is.
And it made me feel like I was part of that, their community as well. And I have a ton of friends that serve. So I'm excited that I'm going to start asking around and say, hey, who's doing stuff on Point Loma? Because I want to go hang out there too. It sounds like a great place to really be involved. So I just want to encourage you, if you're listening to this, that ask your Navy friends, be involved. They will love to show you the base. They would love to give you a tour and let you be involved. As a civilian, it's not a sacred ground that you can't go to and have a picnic there.
That's right.
Do the things, be involved, because if you live in San Diego, the Navy is not the best kept secret. Empower the Navy and help them be part of the community, because that empowers their emotional just leadership to know that they're doing something, even with a friend, right?
That's right. Well said. Absolutely.
Captain, some thoughts and reflections or service to the Navy, you know, with all your years as an officer that you'd like to share with our guests.
Yeah, you know, reflections. I can say that my service in the world's greatest submarine force and the world's greatest Navy, you know, if there's one thing I can say from a leadership perspective is that it gave me an opportunity to experiment in leadership. And it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns. There were days that were very challenging because of my own decisions. But the military at large, I think, allows for those types of mistakes to be made. You know, I can't say enough about how my personal and professional growth over 28 years of service now, 32 if you go back to my starting years at the Naval Academy, you know, nearly one-third of a century being surrounded by professionals, dedicated volunteers, men and women ready to go out and do some very heavy lifting and push-ups and go into those deepest, darkest corners of our planet to make a difference. And I had that opportunity to be in leadership roles. And you know, I can't thank everyone that I served with, but my reflections upon where I was then and where I am now, I will say that there is one thing that never changes, and that is the quality of people that we have in our military services and the quality of people that we have in our submarine force. And even though I had made some mistakes along the way, probably didn't make the best decisions always, you know, one of the things I discussed with my staff here recently at Naval Base Point Loma, and I read an article to them from the Wall Street Journal called Don't Flunk at Failure. You know, don't lose because you've lost, and find a way to win. And I think that my reflection of my service to my country and my service to the submarine force has been that we never allow defeat to define who we are, and we use it as motivation to get better. And I think as long as we have the right perspective and understand that it's not about us, it's about service, it's about serving the people that are looking to us for leadership, and most importantly, accomplishing the mission and defense of our Constitution, I'm very, very thankful for that opportunity, and it's been a wonderful ride.
And it's inclusive. I think that's the cool part of that we had a great discussion with Tony before this, and he speaks with a lot of pride about this, that as an African American during his time, the military accepted him, and not that it didn't take a little bit of time to make that happen, but that's what you're talking about, that every person has a unique gift, and you are able to bring that out, and the military gives you that opportunity, right?
Captain, final words for our listeners.
Here's what I'll say is that you got to ask yourself what kind of person and leader you want to be. Is your team going to succeed at the expense of your people, or is it going to succeed as a result of your people? And you have to decide which way you're going to lead them.
Folks, take that charge into the weekend. You've been listening to Rise Up Radio. Howard Warner, Captain, thank you so much for your service, and thank you for being with us. Jared, we're glad to have you back. Folks, go enjoy San Diego. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
Hey, San Diego, Craig Sewing here. Look, one of the things that nobody likes to hear is that they got bugs in their home. Almost all California homes have some sort of bug or termite problem. It's not a cool thing to have bugs running around your house, so I'm going to help you get rid of them. I want you to connect with Lloyd's Pest Control. These are our good friends at the Craig Sewing Show. They can help you. They've been in business, putting bugs out of business since 1931. They'll do a free inspection for you. If you want to get your biggest investment checked out, make sure there's not bugs or termites, go to LloydPest.com. That's LloydPest.com and get a free inspection of your real estate today.
Hey, San Diego. Have you been to any Padres games this year? You might have noticed my name on the outfield scoreboard as the realtor for our team. Hi, I'm Melissa Tucci, the exclusive realtor for the San Diego Padres, and I don't just help the ballplayers. I've helped thousands of San Diegans just like you buy and sell homes. I love this business, I love helping people, and I love to have a conversation with you to explore your real estate goals. Whether you're buying or selling, visit me online at melissatucci.com and shoot me a quick message. That's MelissaTucci.com. Or just call me 619-787-6852. That's 787-6852. Or again, just visit me at melissatucci.com. Let's start the conversation today. I look forward to the opportunity to get to know you better. And feel free to call, text, or email me. Thank you so much.